Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And as you know, it is the award season here in Hollywood. Everyone is buzzing about the Oscars. And so, of course... Yeah, we're a fan of the Charlotte Hornets and the Oscar buzz. So, of course, we're going to be talking about The Interview. The
Jonathan
hottest film.
Says he's wearing his Lakers shirt.
Oh.
Man, repping LA. Doesn't matter how much the Lakers suck this season... Because I got a vintage shirt, so I'm repping how good they used to be.
Yeah.
Everyone was talking about this film in 2014. It spanned the country, the globe, even the interwebs. Matt, what was the buzz? What was the controversy about The Interview?
It's about North Korea. It's about assassinating the leader there that I believe is Kim Jong-un. Something like that? Kim Jong-un?
Yeah.
And yes, so North Korea wasn't happy. So, I don't know, they hacked the computers and, said they'd do terrorist attacks or something if people saw the movie.
Allegedly. We don't want to be accusing any foreign countries of terrorism without hard proof. But, yeah.
Well, they didn't do the terrorism.
They just hire anonymous terrorists, if that's the correct term. So, interestingly, the film, they do try to assassinate a real leader. They didn't just go, oh, here's a non-specific Asian country and we're going to get rid of a fictional evil dictator. They've gone right after Kim Jong-un. Ballsy. Matt, what are your thoughts on Kim Jong-un? Are you pro-Kim Jong-un? Are you on this US-North Korea battle, which side are you on?
I don't like to get political on the podcast. I feel like, you know, don't want to alienate any of the listeners. So like,
any Kim Jong-un fans out there, we wouldn't want to lose their weekly downloads.
Yeah, so... Like, we tend to avoid these political issues, but I could, I'm really probably on the non-North Korea side of the, this particular one, to a rare moment of political frankness.
Yeah, okay, that seems a pretty popular stance. I might have lent that way as well, but maybe that was just because of the US media, the propaganda, teaching me all these bad things about North Korea. And maybe in The Interview, I learned some good things about North Korea and Kim Jong-un that weren't really portrayed on the TV. So we'll see what I learned from the film as we get into it.
Yes. I am sorry if I seem a bit tired to the listeners. I had quite a late wedding last night, and I have only just woken up. So if...
That's okay. The listeners don't expect 100% effort from you every time, Matt. That would just be unrealistic.
Yes. So if I yawn or anything, I am sorry.
We'll try to keep you entertained. Try to keep you alert.
Yes.
All right.
So I had a story about The Interview.
All right. Proceed.
Okay. I'm out at the beach with Jess and Chris. Okay, Manly.
Just enjoying your freedom on Manly Beach.
Yeah, we're having a good time. And I get a phone call from an unknown number.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I answer the phone call, and it's from Asian News Now. They needed an expert to talk about the Interview controversy. And they were wondering if I could do a live interview with them on Asian News Now.
The outreach of Screen Verdict knows no bounds. Everybody knows that we're the experts, the people to call in situations like this. Matt, what did you do?
I said, they said, could you talk about that? I'm like, oh yeah. So I was like, when do you want to do it? They're like, 50 minutes from now.
Not an hour, 50 minutes.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm at the beach. I should be able to get home in that time. Yeah, don't worry about it. So I quickly meet Chris and Jess, all get back in the car. We drive back to my place. Luckily, there's a bit of a hold up. The interview gets stopped back another 30 minutes or something, so it gives us heaps of time.
Classic.
Yeah. And then, so I then do the interview, but like on the car trip back, I'm like, gonna be honest, don't really know much about this. I've really been following it in the news. So I had to do a bit of research for this live news.
Google News.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was asked. And then the Skype wasn't working because they wanted to do it via Skype. So,
you're probably getting hacked.
Yeah. So they call me and say, like, we're on the Skype. They're going, your video's not working. I'm like, oh no, it's not good. Like, and then they're like, oh, we're just about to go live. Don't worry about it. We'll just put the audio of the phone call on. So then they switch out. Then all of a sudden I'm on Asian News Now.
Asian News Now?
Yeah.
And what did you say? Singapore. Did you drop truth bombs?
Yeah, it was mainly about the sort of movie side of things. So, like, what does Sony stand to lose? Will they? What are their options with the film? Rather than the geopolitical sort of stuff. They asked if this had ever happened before, something like this. I said, we're in pretty uncharted waters, really. Like,
that's... Yeah, that's the equivalent of, I don't think so, but what am I, an historian?
Yeah. So I found some little nuggets of facts that I could say to make myself sound like I knew what I was talking about more. So I was sort of like, no, we're practically in uncharted waters here. We have had a few American movies banned in China for political reasons, like anything from Lara Croft's Tomb Raider to... some other movie that I knew at the time. To Avatar. But this is the first time another country's had an impact on what America shows in America.
Mm.
So I had a few little facts there to sprinkle in.
Did they love it? Are they going to have you back? Are you going to be a series regular on Asian News Now?
This was actually my second time on Asian News Now. The last time I was on was a year earlier. So it seems like they give me the call up once a year.
The annual Matt Noble appearance.
Yeah. So when they're in a bind, they need an expert on movie news. They give me a buzz.
Well, next year, we'll let you know when Matt's going to be on, and you can tune in to Matt Noble on Asian News Now.
Yeah.
So there you go. You're right. It did have an impact on American soil, and I was thinking, where's Jack Bauer when you need him? But I guess his computer hacking skills aren't as good as his torturing skills, because it seemed for a while that the terrorists had won. Yeah. But... Sony and what they decided to do was put it out on the internet. They were like, well, you can bomb a theater or something, but what are you going to do? Bomb Netflix? Bomb iTunes? Bomb YouTube?
This was interesting because the one thing North Korea had shown that they were quite adept. No,
not adapt.
That was something they were quite good at when it came to terrorism, was the cyber terrorism.
Mm.
They had already launched a successful online attack. Yet to see their movie bombing, they were ready for one of those. But I wonder if YouTube and Netflix were playing with danger.
Sony's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put it on YouTube. We're going to put it on Netflix. And YouTube and Netflix are like, hang on a minute. don't really want to be the target of any cyber attacks.
Yeah.
Let's, work out the kinks.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So anyway, there you go. But they put it online.
Freedom won. Freedom won. North Korea zero.
Yeah. And everyone had to see it now. This was the politically important film of the year.
So let's see if North Korea evens the score in the film. The film is about James Franco, who is a news anchor, but he does sort of entertainment-style news. It's not really very hard-hitting. And Seth Rogen is his producer and friend, and he maybe wants to do something a little bit more serious, but he's also enjoying the success of the show. And it turns out that Kim Jong-un, leader of North Korea, is a fan of the show. And he's prepared to do an interview with James Franco. And as such, the CIA gets in touch with him, because he's got unprecedented access. And the plot to assassinate Kim Jong-un begins. Do we like this premise? Were you hooked?
Yeah, it's a pretty good premise.
I like it. It's high stakes, assassination, you've got the political element, it's topical. All of a sudden, you know, without this terrorist malarkey in real life, you wouldn't care so much. But you're like, in the film, you want to see them get revenge. Get that, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. This is what you get, Kim Jong-un, for releasing Jennifer Lawrence's, social security number or whatever. By the by, I wonder if North Korea was behind those celebrity nude photos that got released earlier in the year.
Mm.
The iCloud hack.
Who knows? They hate freedom but love boobies. It's quite the eternal conundrum. Yeah. So, Jay, I think the film really hangs on the chemistry between James Franco and Seth Rogen. They've done quite a few things together. I think I've enjoyed them a bit more than you have in the past. Matt, what did you think of this duo in the interview?
Yeah, as you say, like, usually I'm not as big a fan as you. I don't mind them. They're okay. I feel like they weren't any different to usual here. Like, I did quite enjoy them. Seth Rogen's a pretty funny guy, but like, sometimes I find it a bit hard in carrying a movie. Like, I prefer him in the supporting role, the sort of the guy who can come in for a laugh every now and then. And James Franco's good, he's funny, but there's just always something about him that I feel like he's trying a bit hard to be funny. Doesn't seem to come completely natural to him.
I thought these guys were hilarious in moments, but I think they suffered from a case of they are now so big, so popular, that they don't have to answer to anyone. You know, Seth Rogen wrote and directed it. Seth Rogen, James Franco is super popular. You know, they were just basically hanging out as friends, broing out, doing whatever they wanted on the set, which is cool. But if you have someone that they have to answer to, maybe, you know, if someone else had directed it or whatever, there would be someone to be like, no, this part doesn't work. Yes, this is funny, this is good, but this is just too silly or too far. And if you trim back that excess, it could have been really great, but you had some stuff like, I know, all the stinky penis jokes, all the poop jokes, sticking stuff up your butt.
Yeah.
It just got a little too immature for me at times.
I'd agree. I completely agree. Like, you know, the tiger scene and the way that ends is just not very clever, not very funny, and just a very weird scene. It doesn't really hit on the marks that, like, excite me about the premise of the film.
Mm. Now, there was one sort of penis joke that I did actually find quite funny, and you might have seen this on Facebook. It sort of caught on. There's the phrase honeypotting, which is sort of, you know, you lure someone in with the honey, and then they get trapped. You are baiting them. Seth Rogen refers to if he was gay, they were trying to attract him with this attractive man that they would have been honey-dicking him. And I thought that was pretty good. People already use it online. Just, you know, if anything's too good to be true, think someone's trying to lure you in, bait you, trap you, they're honey-dicking you. So get on that now, because it's going to be funny for you to use for the next, you know, month or so, and then it's going to get old. So try and get the most out of that honey-dick while you still can.
Yeah, I like that. That was pretty good. What do you think about the There's a lot of, like, homoeroticism or innuendos from James Franco. Like, it's almost a bit of, like, a Tobias from Arrested Development, sort of, where he's always saying stuff that makes him sound gay. Did you like that, or did you think that was a bit silly?
I thought it worked more often than not. I guess the thought process behind that is these guys do a lot of bromances, and I guess since people have become aware of that, and that's a genre now, it's existed enough to the point where you can start doing parodies of bromances. So I think they were just sort of having fun with it, making fun of themselves a little bit, and I laughed at that.
Seemed like a poor man's Tobias from Arrested Development. Like, it didn't work quite as well and was maybe done a little too much, but I didn't mind it.
It's hard to match Tobias.
Yes, that is true. So, what do you think about the Kim Jong-un character?
I've forgotten the actor's name, but I'm a fan of him as Governor Danny Chung on Veep, and I thought he did a great job of creating a character of Kim Jong-un, because he was kind of silly, but still had, you know, personality to him. They created this depth, and the film sort of goes one way, and you're like, oh, I didn't really expect this, and then it takes a turn, and the film just kind of gets crazier from there. So I think he was one of the highlights. I think you're going to be seeing him in a lot more films.
Yeah, no, I think he was very good. I think he was great. Was it able to make you sympathetic to North Korea? Was he too good?
Well, you know, for a while I thought, man, it's just a guy with daddy issues, you know? It's not his fault. He's just trying to please someone they'll never be pleased. You know, North Koreans, they seem pretty like they're just trying to get by. It's a beautiful place. I don't know where they actually shot that or how much of that was CGI, but I thought, you know, if it wasn't illegal and likely to get me murdered, that would be a place I'd love to go visit. Do some hiking, do some camping. Thought it looked lots of fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but ooh, there was some period of time where I'm like, yeah, I could see myself becoming pro North Korea.
Go get some fruit or veg at the supermarket.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I still thought, boy, like, I think he's a bit of a douche. Kim Jong-un. Like, I think, like, you know, there might be a few, like, he might like Katy Perry or whatever, but I feel like he's not very nice to everyone in his country, and that's sort of lame. That's not cool.
Do you you prefer benevolence in a national leader?
Yeah, I think so.
Softy.
Yeah. So, ultimately, I feel like this film's got a lot of negativity, but like a lot, but it's also become this really important film. Do you think the fact that this controversy all happened has launched it into a sort of like, you know, it's gotten more respect than it should get and more attention than it should have gotten given the quality of the movie? Or do you think that because of the political sort of stuff that it's actually good people talking about it? Like, what do you think?
I think there are pros and cons. I think it got more attention than it would have before, definitely. Whether that's more attention than it deserved, I'm not sure. I think it would have got a reasonable amount of attention. I mean, people like James Franco and Seth Rogen. But with that, I guess, comes expectation. And I think people thought, they were so excited to see it. They thought, man, this is going to be so good. It's going to be as good as, you know, I don't know, 40-year-old Virgin or Knocked Up or This Is the End, what it's going to be the best. And then maybe didn't live up to those expectations. And if that had just been the case originally, people would have been like, oh, yeah, pretty good, maybe not their best. But because of all that anticipation, I think they got a pretty large amount of backlash. There was a lot of Razzie talk. In the in the, what, the, I guess, the anti-Oscar scene. Ended up getting snubbed in both. Didn't get nominated for an Oscar, didn't get nominated for a Razzie. So I guess they can't complain too much. I didn't let myself get too invested. I just thought, cool, I'm going to be able to watch it on TV. We'll see. Hopefully it's a bit of fun. And I guess if we're getting to the verdict, I'll give my verdict.
Yeah, give your verdict.
I think the pros were good chemistry between James Franco and Seth Rogen. A couple of memorable bits, like the M&M scene, I thought was quite funny. The Honey Dickin was a pretty good catchphrase. I like Kim Jong-un as a character. Decent supporting role from Lizzie Kaplan. I thought actually some of the commentary about North Korea was perhaps a little cleverer than the film as a whole. You know, it's a pretty dumb film. It's aimed at, 14-year-olds, really, I think. But I think some of the criticisms of North Korea were actually quite intelligent. I think it did a good job of, showing that there's like real people there and how people are actually affected by, what's going on. But then also entertaining us with this, cartoonish villain that deserves to get made fun of because he's a crazy. So that was all good, but it was a little long, a little self-indulgent, and just a little too immature for my taste. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think this, it's hard to view, whether you view a film completely in a vacuum or whether, you judge the art based on sort of some level of impact that it's had. And I feel like because this film did what it did and became this big statement of freedom of speech and terrorism and things, that does add a little bit of weight to it. But I think, agreeing with you, makes expectations a bit higher, but also launches it into the discussion of things. So only for me, I think the fact that there was all that controversy in my mind helps it a little bit because it was a film that was able to score some waves and some maybe some, I'm not going to say positive waves, but I'm going to say waves that, made a studio in Hollywood have to take a stand, and things. That being said, it was pretty silly. I enjoyed most of it. I think bits of it got a bit too silly. I think the end went on a bit too long and things like that. But yeah, so I enjoyed it for the most part, but it was a silly movie. There weren't too many things I thought were great. It was more just whether I was bored or whether I was mildly enjoying it. So I'm going to give it a 5.5 out of 10.
So there you go. We ended up mildly on the side of the US, but could have been a stronger victory. We'll see what they can do in the next outing. So housekeeping. Matt,
yes.
What do we have in housekeeping this week?
I haven't run this by you, but the podcast award voting's open at the moment. Although I think they might close today. I don't know.
It's our annual We Forgot About the Podcast Awards. It just closed update in housekeeping. Yep. Well, if it's still open and we can upload this podcast before it closes. Where do people go, Matt? Where are they going to vote?
Google Podcast Awards.
Yeah, just go to Google. Type in Podcast Awards. Something will come up. I don't think there are that many different podcast awards. I'm sure you'll be voting in the correct one.
And vote for us in the film and television category.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. The film and movies category. There isn't a film and television category.
Okay.
Film and movies category, because you can only vote for us in two categories. That and just best podcast, although mainly the film and movies one, because I think that's one we've got the best chance. I'm pretty sure Serial won't be in that category. Which
we want to pick categories that Serial won't be in.
Yeah. We had to, yeah. So that's the move. Avoid Serial at all costs at the Podcast Awards.
Yeah, I mean, at the Podcast Awards or in life, everyone's low carb these days, avoid processed foods. Stay away from cereal if possible.
Yeah.
meat and raw vegetables. That's the go.
Is it, do you have any housekeeping?
Nothing major, just to maybe give a bit of a heads up for our Oscars podcast. The Oscars, I think, are in about 3 weeks.
Mm.
And I've actually already seen all the Best Picture nominees.
You are ahead of me.
Yeah, for one. Well, now I'm in the US, I get those early release dates.
Yeah.
For once, I'm ahead of the game. We'll try and get our good friend from Gold Derby, Tom O'Neill, on the podcast.
I'm sure he'll be up for it.
Very cool. So we should be doing that next weekend, and we'll let you know who should win, who will win, and we'll be your headquarters for all your Oscars buzz.
And then also get excited for the Screen Verdict Awards. They should be coming soon too from the past year.
Yeah, the Oscars are just sort of a lead up to the Screen Verdict Awards, sort of a just to, you know, percolate your interest, and then the real awards, the ESVs, will be coming soon.
The Oscars are to the Screen Verdict Awards as the Golden Globes are to the Oscars.
They try to act as a, you know, predict. They try to predict what we're gonna give the award to. But you never know. You never know when it comes to the ESVs.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the podcast coming up. I think it's worth probably us apologising, listeners. Our podcasts have been a bit less regular. You're very busy over there. I'm very busy over here. And getting the time zone sorted out for podcasts is sometimes a bit tricky.
But we do what we do. You know, we might not be able to do podcasts on any given day, but we're going to come through. You know, Matt gets up the morning after a wedding. I might stay up late on a work night.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be a little bit irregular, but that's part of the fun. You never know when the next Screen Verdict podcast is going to be uploaded. But it will be, and we'll be coming at you soon with some more film and TV reviews.
And I think that's, maybe more than an apology. I'm happy to apologise for it too, because I know the listeners enjoy it, enjoy the podcast and getting more podcasts.
Thought you meant they enjoy hearing us apologise.
Yes, but also, more so than an apology, just mean that it's just like, FYI, if there isn't a podcast in a week or two, like at any point, we're not dead. We're not going to Dad's Army podcast. We're just going to disappear out of thin air. We're working on it. It's still a priority. It's just, the coast, east coast of Australia to west coast of America and the busyness of life, that has stalled a little bit. But if there's anything you want us to podcast about, let us know, get in touch. Because we're so pumped for the podcast of 2015. I'm so excited. I think it's going to be the best year ever.
New Year's resolution, make 2015 the best year for Screen Verdict yet.
Oh, I'll tell you just a Screen Verdict story. And it's pretty funny. For the wedding, I had to do some trivia on the bride and the groom for a bit of a game because I was emceeing the reception. So it's sort of like stuff. So I sort of thought one of the questions could be the bride 2 years ago or 3 years ago, 3 years ago when they started going out, I was chatting with her on Facebook and I sort of thought, I'll get some of the relationship advice she gave me on a Facebook private message and I'll get three other bits of relationship advice from girls from a Facebook private message from a similar time. And then they've got to guess which one of the four was hers. Surprise. Yeah. So it's pretty good. But anyway, I was giving through some of my old chats from 3 years ago, and it was around the time we were starting the podcast, I guess, or the podcast was newish at that point. I don't remember exactly where we started. I think we were probably about 6 months in. And, there's a lot of oh, what did you get up to today, Matt? And just recorded a podcast with Jonathan. it's going to be a good one. Check. I mentioned you in the podcast today. The I Am Legend suggestion has been made.
And we've been making fun of it for 3 years ever since.
I'm still good friends with that person who made the I Am Legend suggestion with her friends, and I told her recently that that's still a running joke on the podcast. I feel like, now, all jokes aside, we maybe should do an I Am Legend podcast.
If that's what the listeners want, if we get, we'll...
But after the Space Jam one.
Oh, yeah, there's no way it's coming ahead of Space Jam.
Yeah.
But if people want to go to facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast, let us know what you want us to record a podcast on. If it's I Am Legend, we can potentially make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see how. I don't think Kirsten is still listening to our podcast, so I...
Maybe this will bring her back. Maybe she'll see that that we've done an I Am Legend one, and she'll be back on the Screen Verdict train.
She'll definitely listen to the I Am Legend one.
Very good.
Maybe we'll call her up when we do the I Am Legend one. Get her on.
Which may or not, may not be 2:30 a.m., depending on both of our schedules.
Yes. Oh, well. It's been fun, Jonathan.
Good to get a podcast recorded. We'll be back again next week. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you then.
Yep.